What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Self-Helpless. I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And we are so excited to get into today's topic. But first off, let's start with a quotable.
Oh, it's a good one, too.
You want to do it, Kels?
Yeah. You are what you do, not what you say you'll do.
Oh!
Carl Jung.
That is convicting, isn't it?
Carl. Yeah. Damn. That's a kick in the ass.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, man.
Also, just a heads up, we are recording this on Labor Day.
Yeah.
Coming at you during the holiday. And the All Things Comedy Studio was closed. So we're recording from my apartment and there are children playing Marco Polo in the pool outside as if they're also being stabbed at the same time. They're screaming very loudly. So we are hoping that the audio for this episode sounds great. But if you occasionally hear a small child, we're sorry. We apologize. Yes.
We are not smuggling them in Kelsey's apartment.
We are not.
Yet. Oh, man.
I'm excited about today's topic.
I am too. I've heard a lot about this book.
Yeah,
we are covering the New York Times bestselling book, Unfuck Yourself, written by Gary John Bishop, who's a program director at a personal development organization in Scotland.
Yes.
I didn't know that. And this was a Helpster's Choice topic.
Love it. So go to patreon.com/selfhelpless if you want to start voting on the topics we discuss on the show.
Yeah, it helps a lot. We love to know what you guys specifically are like, yeah, let's do this right now.
Yes.
We want this next week. We want to talk about this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The San Francisco Book Review wrote about this book that it's part self-help book, part life coach outline, and that it tackles the problem most of us face when getting started on any kind of self-improvement or major life change, namely ourselves.
So basically, 100%.
It's just you. You need to work on you.
It's just never ending, all the things I got to work on.
Isn't that always the answer? That it's just us?
It always just comes back to you. It is such a bummer. Like, people do say, they're like, oh, it's a situation. It's, you know, logistics. It's whatever, it's circumstances. Like, it's usually you, bitch.
Yeah, it's I think that's what a big part of this book is like, not making excuses.
Yeah.
And just doing what you can.
Our excuses keep us so safe.
I know.
Just snuggly blanky.
Should we get into topic one?
Sure. Yeah.
Retrain your self-talk using personal assertions. Oh, he says assertions instead of like affirmations.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Assertion feels a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah. A little suggestive as well, perhaps? Oh, I think of insertion. Never mind.
Your mind's in the gutter.
You're always trying to find... No, like, dick is on your mind so much that you changed a word. Like, that wasn't even the word, and you somehow made it sexual.
You guys, I'm so sorry. Thank you for still loving me. All right, here we go. So number one from the book, it's not that you have to find the answer. You are the answer.
Yes.
That's so much pressure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to be the answer.
You know what I heard recently? I don't know if we've talked about this yet, but I think this is a great tip, especially if you're running your own business or delegating. You're trying to figure out how to delegate tasks, is not to think of like, what or how can I do this thing, but who can do this for me and do it way better. Yeah. Like, I think that's amazing when you get stuck and you're like, I really don't feel like learning this skill. And I don't like, is there anybody else that could just do this for me? Yeah. So anyway, well, just a little bit tangent might help you out. Okay. You retrain your brain one word at a time. If human emotions largely result from thinking, then one may appreciably control one's feelings by controlling one's thoughts or by changing the internalized sentences or self-talk with which one largely created the feeling in the first place. Mm. One of the forefathers of modern psychology, Albert Ellis.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, change your mind, change your life, right?
Well, that self-talk, like the constant, whatever you are saying to yourself all the time, like we don't even realize.
Yeah.
It's like having the television on, a channel that makes you sad.
Yeah.
But it's like in your head.
Oh.
Yes.
You're your own sad Netflix.
You're your own sad channel.
And then you create that reality. If you keep telling yourself, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough, you're probably going to do things that make you feel that way even more.
Exactly.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even if you don't do anything, you're just going to feel that way all the time. Or you're going to decide that things are happening that aren't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you're going to go like, oh, nobody cares about me. It's like, that's totally not true. And you need to talk to yourself. I've had to do that this year, totally, of like realizing when I'm experiencing an emotion that's just me being triggered by something from like childhood or something, and then having the wisdom and self-awareness to go, okay, I don't even really feel this way, or I don't even really want to do this thing. I just am feeling whatever, abandoned or whatever, like whatever you're feeling. I'm feeling lonely. Like decisions we make when we're going off of emotion instead of logic. And self-talk, I think, is rooted in more logic.
Mm.
But it's how you regulate your emotions.
Yeah, it's like kind of just you have to kind of like pretend that you're just a blank slate and like forget everything that's happened to you in a way.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it's like, okay, the story that you keep telling yourself, like all the things that have happened to you, they've happened, but they're in the past and they're no longer happening. And it's right. Like, okay, how to move forward now. Stop telling yourself that that's your story.
Yes. You know?
Oh, so hard to do. Do you want to take the next topic? Take ownership of your circumstances, Taylor?
Yes. So take ownership of your circumstances. Stop blaming your situation on things outside your control. Okay. So stop blaming luck. Stop blaming other people. Stop pointing to outside influences or circumstances. Realize that you have the life you are willing to put up with.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's true. If somebody's mistreating you, ask yourself, why are you staying?
Exactly.
You know? Like if your job is shitty and your boss sucks, ask yourself why you don't get another job. Like I've felt this way where I feel like stuck or trapped in situations. And the most powerful thing you can do is go, oh, I can leave any situation that makes me feel terrible.
Yeah,
absolutely. I went through that when Kane and I decided to move to this apartment to get out of the other one. We got to a place where it was like, okay, what are we not willing to deal with anymore? We're not willing to deal with the like a SWAT team busting down our neighbor's door for some crazy, whatever police thing was happening there. We're not willing to deal with not having a dishwasher anymore or not having a washer and dryer. Like there were just things that were like, you know what, we're adults. If we can afford to move to a place where we feel safer and more comfortable, then what are we doing? Like nobody's going to do it for us. We have to decide we want to live in a more comfortable way.
And so you made it work.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. Crazy how that happens where it's like that money mindset. Like you, if you move toward it, then like things around you will also, I think, elevate to where you are.
Yeah, exactly. Just shifting your priorities.
Yes.
Kelsey, want to take the next one?
Find your inner will. So there's a great quote from the book that says, oh man, and this gives me a little anxiety, but it's very true. Life won't stop for your pauses and procrastinations. It won't stop for your confusion of fear. It will continue right along without you.
Oh my God, that is home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that as somebody who definitely is a workaholic and who's actively trying to make myself take breaks, that's a little tough for me, because that's what I'm always telling myself is like, well, people are getting ahead when you're taking a nap, so guess you can't take a nap. It's like, I think there is a difference between taking a break and resting and like putting off a dream for 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
Because some people do that.
Totally.
So kind of like we were saying before, what are you unwilling to put up with if you continue to live your life in these current circumstances that you don't like? You're probably going to be unhappy. So you instead ask yourself, what am I willing to do? Am I willing to go to the gym? Am I willing to face my social fears? There is no I am willing, but you are either willing or you aren't.
Yes.
So use the personal assertion. I am willing. Determine what you're willing to do and then say the personal assertion. I love it. Help you change your internal
or insertion.
Or insertion if you want to have
visualize
more fun.
That dick.
Yeah, that is a great way and a more positive way to cut toxic things out of your life.
Yeah.
To go, I am willing to do this.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when people say like, don't say I don't want this, this, and this. You go, these are the things I want. So instead of saying like, I don't want a, I don't know, long distance relationship. Go like, I want somebody who lives in my town. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like things like that. Just it's this, you're saying the same thing, but in a more positive way and hopefully attracting what you want instead of that law of attraction.
Totally.
Thing.
Or it's like, you know, hey, I'm, if you're like uncomfortable about finances, am I willing to pick up a second job? Am I willing to ask for a raise? You know, am I willing to raise my prices? Am I willing to start saying no to going out with people, like stuff like that? What are you willing to do in order to make you feel better working towards that goal? Yeah. I think that's a good way to do
and
it.
And anytime you say I'm not willing or I don't want, I'm sure, at least for me as a perfectionist, there's some inherent self-judgment that happens where I go, why am I not willing to do that? Or even if it's something that I think is reasonable that I go, oh, that's me protecting and taking care of myself, going like, oh, but that sounds so high maintenance.
Yes. Do you ever go like, who do I think I am that I'm unwilling to take this gig?
Exactly.
Like, you should drive 3 hours for 15 minutes on a shitty bar show. Come on. But it's like, no, you really should tell yourself like, no, this is what I deserve. If I feel like I don't need to do that, then I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Still my favorite thing is basically instead of saying I don't have time, just tell yourself it's not a priority and see how that feels. So it's like, ooh, I didn't have time to go to the gym. I didn't have time to cook healthy. Why not? Instead, what's really happening, going to the gym is not a priority for you. Eating healthy is not a priority for you. You know, I couldn't see my family this week and just didn't have time. Making time for your family, seeing your family is not a priority for you. That's way more real. That's way, because what you're doing, the way that you're spending your days are your priorities.
Yes.
That's it. Unfortunately, like the whole, it's not what, it's what you're doing, not what you're saying you're going to do.
Exactly.
And so that for me, that kicks me right in the face when I'm like, oh, I just couldn't today. I couldn't, couldn't go for a walk, you know? Just didn't make it. It's like, oh, going for a walk and getting some sunshine and exercise wasn't a priority for you today, Delaney. How does that make you feel?
Yeah.
It makes me feel like I am being called out and I'm going to definitely do it tomorrow. Like, So I like saying that to myself. I need a little bit more of a somebody being like a mean coach approach sometimes, you know, like
that external.
Yeah.
What external accountability?
Yeah. Yeah. Or just something like calling me out on my bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I need a little bit of a mix of, you know, nice and tough love. Okay. Next one, harness your subconscious. Quote from the book, with every experience, relationship, and goal we set, we are accomplishing exactly what our subconscious brain believes we should. According to cell and DNA scientist Dr. Bruce Lipton, 95% of what we do in our day-to-day life is controlled by our subconscious.
That's terrifying.
God yeah, damn that's it. A lot. So what we were just saying is like,
listen to your dreams.
Yeah, the thoughts that you're feeding yourself, you're going to create that reality for yourself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Start telling yourself other things.
I also think your subconscious can tap into what's really happening, too. I think it kind of goes hand in hand. I think you can become a self-fulfilling prophecy and, you know, do the things that maybe you're afraid of yourself doing. But I think there are other times where something may be off, or you know you're unhappy, mm-hmm. and your subconscious is picking up on that, and you're totally. Going, no, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. And that's why people stay in jobs and relationships and situations that they shouldn't, because they're fighting against their subconscious that, no, it's your gut.
For sure.
Listen to that little inner voice that was like, you know, hey, I really don't feel like doing this. Just listen, you know, like it's there. Especially if you like get quiet more frequently and you just like are trying to be very present and tune in.
Yeah.
It tells you stuff.
It's so polite. It's such a polite inner voice. Hey, I don't really want to do this.
Hey, I don't really do it. It just feels like a little whisper.
Yeah. I don't mean to bother you. Yeah. In your manic state.
Yeah, but exactly.
So I'd let you know I'm kind of tired. I don't really want to do this.
Hey, this person's a little bit off. Maybe don't go to coffee with them.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah.
I don't know, guys. All right. So become aware of the absolute truths or conclusions that your subconscious has made. Do you believe you will never have a successful relationship? Do you think you are lacking in a certain way? Do you think you won't reach your dreams?
The absolutes.
Yeah. I've heard somebody talk about recently, like if you keep telling yourself like I'm somebody who only makes $20,000 a year, even if somebody offered you more money, you would probably sabotage it because are under the belief that you are a person that only makes $20,000 a year. Yeah. So you are going to, whether you're aware of it or not, you're going to do things to keep you doing that.
Absolutely. I think the best quotes we've ever had shared on the podcast is whether you think you can or you can't, you're right.
Yes.
And it's just, I think so much of this book is about that. Like whatever you believe, that's what's going to happen.
Exactly. The next step, create a game plan. Think about the things you'd like to change. What do you want to accomplish? Where do you want to see progress? Break down the goal. What are the exact steps you need to achieve it? What are the mile markers you need to identify your progress? How will your sense of self change after you've accomplished your goal? How will your beliefs about yourself change once you've accomplished your goal? What is that? Oh gosh, there's a great freaking Insta quote. I'll have to find it at some point, but it's like a dream broken down into steps becomes goals, broken out something into steps becomes a task. I don't know. Eventually becomes your reality. Something great like that. Maybe I'll find it and post
about it. We've been doing the podcast for long enough now that like we literally only speak in quotes to each other. It used to be just we'd say a quote at the beginning of the episode, and now it's every 2 seconds, and I love it. It makes me feel good.
So good. And then use the personal assertion, I am wired to win. Determine what your goal is, what you need to do, and how you will feel when you get there, and know that you are wired to accomplish it. Gosh, I gotta, like I said, I'm somebody who needs to be fed constant positivity, or else if I let my mind wander, it gets downward spiral real quick.
I'll tell you guys in our segments later, it involves the external, what's it called,
accountability
of like keeping myself on track. I'll tell you guys later.
Nice.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, so next, don't let negativity stick to you. This is a quote from the book, everyone has their problems and life isn't always perfect. It never will be. Negative thought patterns are one of the most destructive parts of life's struggles because they remain after the negative event. That sucks. Ooh. That sucks that even if the thing happened so long ago, those negative thoughts are still there. If you are in a negative mind frame, take a step back to remember all the triumphs you've had, the obstacles you've overcome, and the fact that there's so much more to come. Use the personal assertion, I got this. It doesn't mean you have a perfect solution. It means you have your hands on the wheel. I like that.
Mm-hmm. I like that. There's another one. I think it was from a book that we reviewed. I can't remember. I'm just going to see what I can get away with.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to see what I can get away with. Kind of like, oh, this is just going to be for fun. If something great happens, great. If it doesn't, who cares? I'm just trying it out.
Yeah.
Right. It kind of takes the pressure off. Like, this is the thing and has to be the thing.
Right.
And it's the biggest thing I've ever done. Like, I like saying that to myself.
Yes. Tay, you want to do the next one?
Yes. Oh, God. This is... embrace uncertainty. How about fuck you? How about that? In the past 2 months, I've been seeing a therapist, a couples therapist, and a psychiatrist. And everybody is telling me to embrace uncertainty. And I finally am, but God damn it. Why? Why do I have to do this? Okay, sorry. So this is from the book. Uncertainty is where new happens. Uncertainty is the pathway to opportunity. Chasing certainty is counterproductive because certainty doesn't exist. Ow! I'm feeling very attacked. There is no change or opportunity in safe, familiar, or certain. You just said certain doesn't exist, so you're staying consistent. Even in your comfort zone, you will eventually be uncomfortable because you will have the feeling that you could do more. Ah, oh, goddammit. Okay. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. No, whoa, bro.
Whoa, bro. Yeah.
Low blow, bro.
Come on.
Life's a shit show.
Life's a shit Welcome. Show, and then you die.
God.
So you embrace uncertainty. Do what makes you uncomfortable. What are things that make you uncomfortable? I'm going to have chlamydia.
Talking about month. Uncertainty.
So I mean, I'm going to be dead in 4 weeks if I follow this advice. What are things that make you uncomfortable? What are things you'd like to do but avoid because of uncertainty? Those are your goals. Step forward and be judged. Don't let the uncertainty of what others think of you prevent you from doing anything. See uncertainty as a joyful adventure. Use the personal assertion, I embrace the uncertainty. Oh, that makes me feel like I'm hugging an uncle I don't want to touch. Embrace
uncertain Uncle Dan.
Yeah, they're like, huh? I actually do have an Uncle Dan.
I have an Uncle Dan too.
Oh, do you? Everyone has an Uncle Dan. Yeah, I don't think he's not creepy at all. Yet. He's very cool.
Yeah, we'll have one
someday.
Do you know what I think? Okay, so I get it. The embracing uncertainty. It's almost like the way that I feel is like ever like wake up and you look in your calendar and you see your schedule for the day and you're like, okay, this is what's going to happen today, right? And you wake up and you look at your schedule and it's clear and there's nothing and it's like, wow, what should I do today? I get to do whatever I want.
Yeah,
that's the fun part of uncertainty.
That's when I spiral. Like,
yeah, that's really? Not fun for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I've liked that more. If it's like, I guess I like it more when it's a weekend day where it's like a day that I'm supposed to really try to be relaxing. If it's maybe a work day that's not super booked up, I'm like, oh my God, it's all coming and crashing down on me. Here it goes. But if it's like, you know, with our tendencies, we sometimes book stuff on the weekends too. And
hence us recording on holiday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
seriously.
But when I like look at that and I wake up and it's like, oh shit, I get to just, what do I want to do? What feels fun right now? Like Cam and I did a lot of this past weekend where, we cooked dinner together. We had some wine, we went mini golfing and we just
That's
like,
so nice.
Like we're trying to break ourselves out of this pattern of like, we're just staying in all the time.
Yeah.
And it was super fun. And it's like this, it was like the possibilities became like, there were so many
endless. Yeah.
And that is fun. When you kind of shift it that way versus, oh my God, what's going to happen? Tornado's going to hit my house. Like, right. I think trying to make it the uncertainty positive of, oh, what kind of cool stuff could happen
instead of scary
versus like, oh my God, everything that I've structured so perfectly is caving in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I have to look at it to, you know, get myself through the day.
We've talked about it before on here that's probably like the biggest thing I've ever taken from Tony Robbins and his CD and stuff like that is that we are constantly trying to find the balance between certainty and uncertainty. Because if you have only certainty or perceived certainty, that's death
and
boring. That's your whole life is laid out for you and you're like, well, I know everything that's going to happen. So you feel completely dead. Like there's no,
that's true. Also death is the only certainty we have. I think we all know that.
Taylor is.
If you want to feel certain, just think about the fact that you're going to die. Cause guess what? Everyone's going to do it.
Oh my God.
Have a great Monday.
Which is true.
Taylor's going to go to Hot Topic after this. And get a couple of things pierced and so much more eyeliner.
I'm gonna get a wrist cuff.
Yeah, a dog collar.
A wrist cuff and a Nightmare Before Christmas sweatshirt.
Yeah, lava lamp.
But doesn't that sometimes when you think like this is gonna end, so I might as well do like the most awesome shit I want to do while I'm here?
Yeah, but then those tend to end up being relationships for me.
Oh my god,
like, let's just have fun, and then it's like, okay, well, let's actually try to be together.
That's funny.
I only really did that with one person, but they hate me now, so that's fair. Yeah, I do think that's true. I think there is something nice about going like, yeah, this has an expiration date, whatever it is, even if it's like not necessarily a relationship, but also like if it's a job, like where you go, I'm gonna work here for a year and I'm gonna learn a lot.
Yeah,
Devil Wears Prada style.
Hell yeah.
And make the most of it.
Hell yeah.
Make some connections. I gotta watch that movie.
I love that movie.
That movie's so good.
But yeah, we need a balance. We need uncertainty and certainty in our lives.
Yeah.
Yep. Topic six.
Next one. Take action even if you don't feel ready. Quote from the book, you are defined by what's inside
your
head.
You're not defined.
You are not. Oh, I'm sorry. You are not.
No
this
worries.
Changes completely. You are not defined by what's inside your head. You are what you do, your actions. So don't wait to be in the right mood or mindset to do something, because taking action changes your thought patterns. If you're actively doing something instead of anticipating the best time to do it, then you're programming your brain to be active in pursuing your goals. When you focus your attention on action, there is less room in your brain for negative thoughts. Live in the world that is, not in the world that's in your thoughts. Your personal assertion, I am not my thoughts, I am what I do. Yeah, I love that. I definitely do that. I get so caught up in my head going, this is who I am. This is who I am up here. Yeah. And then I don't take the time to just go be what I want, mm-hmm. I guess, or figure out what that is. Because if you're taking action, you're probably learning. Mm-hmm. And if you're just ruminating on what could be.
It's so hard because, you know, if right now I say, I'm somebody who runs every day. I just also, the other part of me is like, bitch, no, you don't. Like, no, you don't.
That's funny.
You know, because I have all of this evidence that I have never been somebody to do that. But if I just started, even if it was 2 minutes a day, I would eventually build the confidence like, I'm somebody who runs every day. Might only be for 2 minutes, but I'm doing it. So I just have to start with like, go for a run for 2 minutes. Go for a walk. Yeah. Do this thing. And eventually you'll believe the things that you're saying about yourself that are super positive.
Because you're backing them up with action.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you guys want me to do the next one?
Yeah.
So don't let fear or setbacks derail you from your goal. Your biggest successes are born out of discomfort, uncertainty, and risk. Anything worth pursuing means you are working against the current. So against others' opinions, against your own fears, against all uncertainties. Limitations are only true if you agree. So with this topic, he wants you to use the personal assertion, I am relentless.
I am relentless.
Sounds like such like a like, you know, basic bitch. You wake up, I am relentless. And I put it in lipstick on my mirror and then I kiss the sky.
You are relentless. Next one, discard the weight of expectations. Expectations can weigh you down. If there is a gap between reality and your expectations that can cause you unnecessary pain, think about how to remove unnecessary expectations. You can think about areas in your life that you don't think are going well. What are the hidden expectations you have about these parts of your life? How did you think it should be going? Next, write down how that part of your life actually is and how it makes you feel. Then let go of these expectations. I like that a lot.
I like that too.
Don't expect victory or defeat. Plan for success. Learn from defeat. Planning is good, but allow there to be room for the dance of life.
The dance of life.
I do a mean robot when it comes to life. No. Use the personal assertion, I expect nothing and accept everything. Okay. I like that. If you are actualizing this assertion, you are living in the moment, not worrying about the future nor rejecting the past.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Embracing your situation as it evolves. Not necessarily agreeing or pleased with how things are, but understanding. Owning of the situation is...
As it is.
Okay. In charge of how you feel about the situation. So own your circumstances so you can change them.
I don't know if I agree with I expect nothing and accept everything.
Yeah, that sounds...
Doesn't sound a little bit like...
sad. I have no expectations and anything that comes to me. I think what they're saying is just don't lock yourself into a plan for yourself other people into a plan.
Yeah.
Or, you know, because then you'll be disappointed and instead just kind of take things as they come. But then that gets murky because you're like, but aren't I supposed to set goals?
I have a hard time with that of what are realistic goals to set and things that won't make myself feel like shit if I don't accomplish them.
Yeah.
Because for a while, like when we started the pod, we followed Jessica Michelle Singleton's little thing that she did where she made a poster. She wrote goals on one and then had a board for when she accomplished them. She would write them on sticky notes and then move them to the accomplished board. Mm. But that goal board started to bring me down because, like, even if I had accomplished some of those things and moved them over, I would still look at the things I hadn't accomplished and they would make myself feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then it was like a constant reminder of what I hadn't accomplished, which is kind of what he's saying here, like how to remove unnecessary expectations.
Yeah.
Because that energy, I think, would make me feel bad.
I don't set goals anymore. That's how I've gotten around it. I don't set goals anymore. I set intentions. So like my intention is this year to spend more time with my family. I'm not saying I will see my family once every 2 weeks for the entire year. I'm saying I'm going to see them more often. And then anytime I do, I'm like, my intention
that
is
was
going
more.
Well. Yeah.
Interesting.
And so I don't do goals anymore. And I think that's what it's saying is like when you, let's say that somebody was a dancer for 10 years and then they've taken 10 years off of dancing or something. And they go in and like, okay, I'm going to take this dance class. For them, they might think, all right, I'm taking this dance class, so I want to be back as a professional dancer in 6 months.
Right.
That's an expectation that may or may not happen, but it's putting all this pressure. So instead, why don't you say, I want to start dancing more, or I'm going to dance again.
Right.
And that's it. That's the only thing you have to do to make you feel like, oh, I'm doing the thing that I set out to do.
Yeah.
And
or even I'm going to get back to a place where I can be a professional dancer instead of putting like a time limit on
sure.
it.
Sure.
Yeah. The timeline really fucks you, I think, because then you feel like shit if the thing you wanted didn't happen within this year. And sometimes it's like, okay, well, there's a lot of other things that are out of your control for that particular goal.
I think
I don't know.
The time and the outcome fucks you.
Yeah.
I think it's like, I'm going to get this job so I can run the company one day. Okay, so for 20 years, you're going to be miserable in hopes that you run the company.
Right.
You know, it's like, why don't you just do what you're enjoying? And then if things happen from there, great.
Yeah.
And just start with that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think, but I also think that there should be certain expectations going into stuff too. So I don't necessarily agree that you should never have expectations, but I think that comes in like a partnership situation where, let's say I'm hiring you for a job or something. Here are my expectations of what you would, you know, what your end of the deal is.
Yeah.
And what are your expectations of me as like your boss? Or, hey, this is what I expect from a romantic partner. What do you expect from one? And that I think is different. But I think expectations for yourself and your performance are very different.
Yeah.
If you set an expectation in a relationship, you're like, hey, this is kind of what I need. And then the other person doesn't meet them. You don't need to just accept that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I've set this boundary. This is what I need. I'm going to remove myself from the situation.
Right.
Exactly.
If you can't meet them, then I will find them elsewhere.
Exactly. Yes. So I think they're talking about like really about yourself.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I'm gonna get this promotion, and it's like, or I'm just gonna get really good at my job.
Yeah.
And you can want the promotion, but setting a goal that is not something you're gonna choose.
Yeah, I've been trying really hard to think on the whole progress, not perfection thing. Mm-hmm. Like, as a perfectionist, that's super hard for me, but I've started to really, like, in this past year in my career, if I've gotten a compliment from somebody that's like, wow, you've improved so much since the last time I saw you, or you've gotten so much better in this way since the last tape I saw, or something like that, I'm learning to really feel so good about that and go, awesome, I'm getting better. That means I'm going to continue to get better. Mm. And like, outside of, I know I always put a lot of emphasis on like credits and these external sources of validation in this business that make you feel like you're somebody. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also really important to go, as long as I'm getting better, I'm accomplishing a really big goal. Yeah. And that's something that I'm in charge of, is like putting in the work to improve. And so I've started to like hold on to that a lot. And that makes me feel good.
Yeah, exactly.
Progress thing. Yeah.
Right. I think it's important not to give external things the power to make you feel a certain way. You have the power to make you. Okay, let's see this one. Use the personal assertions, take action, and rid yourself of bad habits to create good ones. So, a quote from the book, in order to improve your internal world, you have to start by taking action in the external world. Get out of your mind and get out into your life. So, two steps to freedom. Stop doing what you're currently doing. What are the problematic habits you have? Stop doing them. Okay.
All right.
Let me just write that down. Use the affirmations to get out of the negative thought patterns that prevent you from taking action. I feel like I'm being called out. Start taking action to propel you forward. Replace bad habits with new actions. Get support.
Mm-hmm.
And get out of your head and into your life. So, man, I think telling people about what your intentions are, it can be very powerful. The people that you love and trust, who want to support you and not sabotage you.
Yeah.
So I think if you have a safe unit of people, like, I could tell you guys, listen, I really, really want to try to stop eating so much junk food this year because I think I have a problem, then maybe it's like, hey, I've told somebody about it.
Yeah.
They're like supportive of it and they know that's what I'm trying to do. And maybe, like, when we're out and you see that I've ordered something a little bit better for me, be like, hey, I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Yeah, like, for sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That would make me feel better, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, that was great.
That was really good.
I really liked that book. It's nice to do books like this sometimes and just get that kick in the ass.
Yes.
That you need. So thanks to our helpsters for recommending that topic. Like we said at the beginning, make sure you join our Patreon. It's patreon.com/selfhelpless. That way you get a vote on more suggested topics.
Yeah. Are there any habits that you guys are trying to replace right now with a more productive or beneficial
habit?
Yeah,
I'm trying to replace love addiction with independence.
Ah,
I think that'll be fun.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Great. Yeah.
Kallus, what about you?
This actually, I guess, could be part of my segment. I was going to do a good shit. Is that I've started meditating again every morning.
Nice.
And I'm using my therapist as my external accountability. I text her every day, which makes me very uncomfortable because it sounds like the relationship you have with your therapist, Delaney, is that you have like email and texting. But with my therapist, it's always been just like, you go to the session. There's talking outside of that except to schedule dates to see her. But I told her in the session that like sometimes my anxiety will flare up again and I just have these really deep rooted like negative self-talk habits that I just can like really tear myself down. And she's like, have you been meditating? And I was like, no, kind of fell off the wagon on that, because I'll get into it and be like, yeah, I'm somebody who meditates again. I got this. And then a few days will go by. And if it's just me telling myself I got to meditate, I kind of fall off. So I told her, I was like, I think it would help me to have some external accountability. Would it be okay if I texted you every day just saying, hey, I meditated? And she's like, of course, please, let's do that. So it's been 2 weeks now and I meditate at least once a day. I try to do it in the morning. But that has been really important for me to take that concrete action to like set up my day and have a routine because sometimes I wake up and it's just like fucking workaholism, scattered brain. I just launch into doing without any sort of like intentional thought of what I want to make this day about. And the I use the Headspace app. If you listeners are interested, it's a really good one. One of the packs I'm on, you do like 10 session packs, is happiness. And at the end of the session, the guy tells you, like, try to stop throughout the day today and find moments where you feel very content and happy. And I realized as we were podcasting just now, I was like, oh, I'm so happy to have you two. Not to get all like flowery and shit, but just nice. Like, it's still, I'm still so happy doing the podcast. And I'm like, I just love that we found each other. And anyway, I was just happy.
Maybe. See, too,
meditating makes you happy.
I know, seriously.
Yeah, that's great. That's Thanks. Such a good, I'm starting to get into meditation more. I just have, for me, I have to do it like right when I wake up. I just have to sit on my bed and do it. Because if I feel like I have to add steps in between me and meditation, I won't do it. But if I will have no excuse if all I'm doing is, well, I was asleep and then I just roll up a little bit and then I'm here. So I've been doing that, and I'm trying to replace my habit of eating dessert or second or third meal around 10 p.m. I'm trying to replace that habit with brushing my teeth.
I'm
less likely to eat all of these things that don't make me feel good the next morning. And so that's a habit I'm trying to replace. And then I know myself, and if I come home and I sit on the couch to like watch TV with Cam, I am probably not getting up the rest of the night to do other stuff. And so before I'm not taking that away from myself, I'm just saying before I do that, I'm going to be doing some kind of physical activity before I sit down.
Yeah. That's great.
So those are the habits I'm trying to like replace. And I'm not, you know, it's just like working with who I know I am.
Yeah.
Freaking love to munch on shit all day. So this is how I'm going to try to help myself with that.
Yeah. Maybe find an accountability partner for any of this. If anything we're saying resonates with you guys, maybe you're having like trouble getting out and doing some physical activity or sitting down and meditating, find a friend or a therapist that you will text every day and be like, hey, did you meditate today?
Yeah.
Cool. I did too. Just, I get squirrely. I'm a fucking slippery bitch. Like I will figure out a way to not do the things that I know are good for me just out of being like self-sabotaging.
Yeah.
Which is so shitty.
Yeah. I think I'm trying to break the habit of, I think I'm trying to listen to myself more because I think I should myself into things, whether it's, you know, traveling or relationships or, you know, agreeing to gigs or whatever it is. Like I'm trying to, like the fact that I canceled two club weekends this month, was, if you bought tickets, I'm really sorry for Syracuse and Hartford. I had to cancel. That's like a very scary thing for me to do and very necessary. And doing stuff like that, I mean, all that book was saying about how growth is born out of discomfort and risk. And it's funny how sometimes not doing things is the risk.
Yes.
You know?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you go, oh, I'm taking a risk. I'm falling head over heels in love, or I'm taking this risk. I'm doing all I can in my career. Or I'm taking this job, or I'm working really hard. And it's like, sometimes the biggest risk and the most uncomfortable thing you can do is take a step back and take care of yourself and not do the things that are maybe sound traditionally risky.
Like inaction instead of action.
Yes, because for me, I'm so emotional. I think for me, action feels less risky. It feels more, I'm more comfortable taking action. I'm more comfortable, you know,
just keep them moving.
Just barreling through.
So your intention is to start being and stop doing so much. Just start to be.
Yes.
We talked in my therapy about not being so reactive. I feel like I react a lot. Like I'm just like reacting, doing, as opposed to just like, being.
Yeah.
I think reacting is a word that resonates with me a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if it resonates with you guys.
Yeah. Me too. Have you guys ever tried the meetup.com stuff? Thinking about trying to join like a hiking group or something.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Because they have them all over, like in every city, all over the place. And they'll just do like whatever you're interested in. You can find a group that does it and just like meet up when you feel like it.
Oh, I'd love to.
And they have
that.
Like scheduled things. And I'm like, that would probably keep me accountable for certain things.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It's like, we meet up this Saturday for this hike that we're doing. And I'm like, well, my buddies are expecting me. I gotta go.
Yeah. You know? I feel like Risk of Fury is my meetup group.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm doing the thing I love. It's scheduled. I have to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bonus that it ends up being taped for the internet as well.
Yeah. Cool. Should we end up with some segments?
Yeah. I already did mine. That's what I was going to share, was that I've been doing the meditation with my therapist.
Nice. So I like that you're checking in with her.
Yes.
That's smart.
When we did... What is it? Four agreements? No.
It's the four tendencies.
Four
That's
tendencies.
Like an obliger situation where you need the external accountability to follow through.
I didn't think I needed that as much. You were the one who was mostly saying that you needed the external.
Oh, big time.
But I don't know if it's like with age or if I'm just being more honest with myself or if it's just the meditation thing, but I really do need the pressure of somebody, especially my therapist. Like I do care what she thinks about me.
Yeah. Which, me too.
Which is ironic because they hear you at your worst. Like you tell them everything and yet I really like don't want to disappoint her.
Yeah.
So I won't flake on her.
Yeah.
But like if it was my mom, I would like, I'm too comfortable with my mom.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I need somebody that's like just exactly the right person to hold me accountable.
I want my therapist to watch my stand up so bad. She says she won't Google me. But like I had a session with her last week that I literally went in and I just sobbed for 45 minutes. And I was like, I need you to watch. I just need you to watch me do something good. Like that's how you feel where you're like, you have seen me at a very low point. Oh. It's like. Yeah, it's like running into an ex when you have no makeup on at Target, mm-hmm. and you're like, all right, I gotta go to their place of work in fake eyelashes.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's funny.
I'm trying to work up I've never cried in front of a therapist, and
really?
So I'm trying to get to that point where I'm comfortable doing that.
I mean, it's embarrassing.
It is. It's super absolutely embarrassing.
Is it?
Yeah.
I want to feel so bad. Like I hold back tears.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, I don't feel this way when I see other people cry. I don't feel like, oh, they should be so embarrassed or, oh, that's not. I'm like, so she's asked me about, cause I've told him like, I am nervous about crying in front of you and I don't cry in front of a lot of people and it's very uncomfortable for me. And she's like, well, what when you see somebody cry, like what is that? I'm like, no, I feel like they should cry and that's very healthy to express that emotion. And you know, and so she's like telling me that I'm putting these expectations on when I cry versus how somebody else. I don't know, it's just like this weird thing that I should be able to cry in front of my therapist. I feel like
I have that too. It's weird. It takes a lot for me to do it.
Yeah.
But it's funny because we see you cry all the time, but it's like happy tears.
Yeah.
You'll be like, oh. But I don't think I've ever seen you cry because you're so upset about something.
Yeah. Because I guess I do a lot of my crying by myself.
Yeah.
And so to have another person there, it's like,
There's no reason you can't have both.
This has been an alone time activity.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can cry anywhere. That's what's so great about it. It's like people think it's just for home, but public transportation, your car.
The hot new accessory.
Yeah.
Try it.
Yeah. Go to dinner alone and just cry through the whole thing. I mean, there's people really, that's an expectation you have that crying is for alone time. But
yeah. Totally. On airplanes, nobody will sit next to you.
Oh,
yeah. That's
God.
The best.
Crying on an airplane, there is nothing worse than crying on an airplane.
Yeah.
And you get so emotional up there. Because you're so close to God.
I feel God on this Alaska Airlines flight.
I wonder why people get so emotional on planes, because I have heard that from a lot of people, that like I can't watch sad movies on planes because I'll cry a lot, like more than I would at home. And I'm sure it's just like the discomfort of not being at home or something.
Oh, yeah. I guess I have. Oh, I totally have.
Well, and you can't like, it's not like if you feel, you know, upset about anything, it's not like there's anywhere to go. Like you're trapped in the sky. You can't leave. Like you can go to the bathroom for a few minutes, but.
But people trying to get in. Yeah.
Yeah, but people are trying to get in. You don't want to be a jerk. And also like.
Sit with yourself.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. If there's anywhere that there's a mirror that'll make you look into your own eyes for hope. It's a bathroom mirror on a plane.
Oh
like,
my God.
I've had so many just like mini existential crises in a airplane toilet, just looking in the mirror like,
oh man,
is that who I am?
Oh no.
Can I see it? And then people are like knocking and you're like, okay, they have a baby. I have to go back to my middle seat and push it down.
Well, keep us posted on if you make the breakthrough.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna tell her like I really want to cry. That's my next step. I want to do is cry in front of you, and she'll probably be like, okay, let's talk about what the fuck this means.
Yeah,
let's
watch the notebook together.
Yeah, So, did we do segments yet? My segment. I just have a good shit. I bought myself a new planner. Seriously.
Oh my god, me too.
Oh, I needed it.
I was gonna save
badly.
Mine for like the next episode Dude. Segment, but. Oh my God, I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, I so badly needed it. Okay, listen. So back when we were discovering the workaholic stuff, I bought myself a tiny, tiny planner because I thought, well, if I can only fit one or two things on my day, that will make me cut back on my stuff.
Yeah.
However, you know, sometimes it did help and some, but it really, it just got very crowded and stressful looking. And so anytime I'd pull up my planner, I could barely read what was on it.
Oh,
and
no.
So things were going in all directions. And I don't think I realized how much, like, how much stimulation and stress this was causing me. So I took myself and I bought a planner, and now I have plenty of space and I can write things out, and I'm still just being mindful. I think it was a good exercise to do that for the past year is like, look, try to not put more than like two big things on your day.
Yeah.
So now I'm just mindful of it, but now I have space to like write it out, and it's brand new and it's clean, and I just feel so much less stress after doing that. So if you got a fucked up planner right now, just turn that shit in for a new one that's blank.
Game changer.
So, yeah.
I hadn't had a planner or agenda. That's why I'm so hyped up about it.
Oh,
I've just been going off of my phone's calendar.
No, don't do that.
I know.
Never trust technology.
I know. Now I know. I'd just been going off of the calendar app.
Oh.
And then I watched, shout out to Samantha Ravendahl, one of my favorite YouTubers. She did like a haul of things that she had just bought. And she showed this beautiful agenda that she got on Amazon, and she was like, listen up, if you're one of those people that's only using your phone calendar to keep your shit straight, you're not doing it right. You have to have like a physical planner. And she could not be more right. It's changed my I've only had it for a week, and I'm like, how the fuck was I getting anything done?
I don't know. I can't believe that.
I know. You guys know like how crazy workaholic I am. Always a bunch. By the way, the Facebook group, somebody did a poll for who do you think is the most type A. I won by like 98%. Taylor didn't even get a vote.
Taylor got
zero. I didn't get a vote.
I got three, I think.
I would actually agree with that. Yeah.
I was shocked by that. I really didn't. I mean, I don't know who I would think else would be the most type A, but I didn't think it was me.
It's you.
But why?
Well, I
like,
don't
what
know.
Concrete
sometimes
things make
sometimes
me...
I think Delaney's more type A.
I think we're type A in different ways, though, maybe.
I mean, it was by a landslide. Like, what about me is so much more type A than you guys? Like, what?
I disagree. I think Delaney's more type A.
I thought it would be you too, Del.
Yeah, I thought I was. Yeah. I thought we
You're
would
just
be maybe
chill
neck
about
and neck.
It.
Yeah, because all the madness is in my mind, and so I try to be, you know, calm, cool, and collected. But it's usually because I'm so burnt out from my own brain. This is the result.
How
I talk to people.
Is it just because I get my hair cut every 6 to 8 weeks? Like, is that the driving force? It's just because I like am on top of that sort of maintenance shit.
Maybe it is your self care maintenance for that, which I think is a good thing for you to do.
That's I'm curious. Nice. You got like write in on the Facebook group or in an iTunes review.
Yeah,
I don't. I'm so it shocked me, but I'm like, okay, I guess I have to accept who I am. But the planner, you guys have to go get one if you are somebody that needs some like more organization in your life. Oh, yeah. Feels so good. Feels so good to physically cross things off instead of just on my calendar on my phone. I would just like delete something.
Oh,
not
gross.
The same.
Dude,
not the same.
I only have a physical calendar planner. I don't have anything on my phone. I have nothing connected to technology because I don't trust it and I'm not good at it. And so I'm not going to try to do it. And also, I have had phones crap out on me like all the time. Just, they just die and then that's it. And there's nothing I can do.
Right.
And if I had any information on there, I've lost all of it. So I just like I don't trust anything.
Yeah,
I need a little. Do you have both, Taylor?
I got a little mini one. I haven't been using it though. Mm. I wanted to get something that was easy for me to take everywhere with me.
Yeah,
it was still physical.
Yeah,
but it was helping.
I like it very much. So
thank you very
that's
much
a good
too.
One.
All right. Tay,
I have. I don't know.
I could do a couple things. Good shit. I visited my friend's baby yesterday. That was fun.
Oh, was it so nice? Did you get your baby fixed?
I got my baby fixed. And then I'm feeling really good about the hour, so that's good.
Good.
Woo. It's all kind of come together in a way that is only born out of fire and pain, but it is it's really good. Like I feel yeah, really solid about it. Here's sort of like a da fuck, but it made me laugh. I wasn't like mad about it, but there was a guy who came up to me. If you came to the Brea improv shows this weekend, thank you so much. They were really great. There was a guy who came up, after my last show with his girlfriend, and he goes, my girlfriend brought me here for my birthday. I didn't know who you were. And I said, who's the headliner? Cause they're there all the time. And he goes, who's the headliner? And she goes, well, it's a female. And he was like, oh God. So and he takes a little mini bottle of Fireball out of his pocket, and he goes, so I brought my own booze in case you sucked. And he goes, but I didn't even open it. You were hilarious. And I was like, what a weird
God.
Like, oh, so funny.
So much of that after shows of couples, either the guy or the girl. The girl being like, my husband was like, oh, this is gonna suck, but we both loved it. Like,
yeah,
it's just like, don't say that part.
Yeah,
why? Just say you loved us. Just say you thought it was great.
You don't have to take us on your journey
of yeah
of like I came in real close-minded and then
exactly right.
You really turned it around.
Oh jeez,
like, you could have just. We're never gonna talk again.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, I think that's it for us. Let's do some. We got some upcoming show dates, some plugs.
Yeah.
This comes out on Monday, September 9th. I want to say a quick thank you to the Helpsters who came out to the Rec Room in Huntington Beach a couple of weeks ago. You guys were so sweet. So nice to meet you after the show. I'm going to be headlining the Comedy Underground in Seattle September 26th through the 29th. I'm going to be headlining Comedy Works in Denver October 13th through the 17th. And then I have some other kind of like random colleges and in-town dates. Just go to kelseycook.com for tickets.
And I'm going to be at the Ice House in Pasadena this weekend, the 13th and 14th, doing shows, and at Cabo in San Diego on Sunday. And I think I have a couple shows in San Diego as well on the 19th and 20th. TTomComedy.com. Just go there for shows and
nice.
Instagram and all that.
Cool. And I'll be launching my Thriving Artist course very soon. Before I release it publicly, I'm going to get a test group in. So if you are interested in being part of this test group, where it's going to be more than a 50% discount for the course when it goes public, and you're going to get one-on-one time with me. So if you are an artist and you make anything, jewelry, you knit scarves, you paint on canvas, you have digital products, my course is basically a very simple minimalist approach to building, branding, launching, and marketing your own business. And so I want to do this in October, so you guys would have your businesses up and running by the holidays. So please reach out to me. I'll let you know if I think it's a good fit. You can email me, DelaneyFisher@gmail.com. You can Instagram message me, find me on my website, whatever you want to do. But I would walk you through everything from picking a product to pricing to packaging, marketing, all that stuff. So with like three simple tools, you guys. So this course is for people like me who suck at technology. Maybe you're not the best at it. You have no business background, but you are creative and you make stuff and you'd like to make money doing something that you enjoy. So hit me up.
Awesome.
Woo,
give us that 5-star iTunes rating and review if you can.
Do it.
Helps a ton. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self Helpless. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Self Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there, a little bit about the show, our individual sites are linked there, and our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And you can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, kelseycook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram, and ttomcomedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys
so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.